You may recall in the George Zimmerman case, the prosecution case pivoted on the quality of its witnesses. And questionable witnesses, as the trial went on, raised doubts in the mind of the jury. Well, at the FBI, questions about forensic science are raising similar doubts about evidence in some criminal investigations and even threatening some convictions and guilty verdicts. 27 death penalty convictions are involved in a total of 120 convictions being looked at. In all, more than 21,700 FBI laboratory files are being examined. With us to explain the significance of the review is Peter Neufeld, who's co-director and co-founder of the Innocence Project, which is assisting the FBI and the Department of Justice review of all of this. Peter, welcome.
Thank you. It's much more likely, in fact, that we're talking about a couple of thousand cases, not just 127 cases, where FBI agents in the 1980s and 1990s provided scientifically invalid testimony.
Now, is this sloppy? Is this deliberately wrong? Is this pressure to bring a conviction? Is it an individual case-by-case sort of thing?
Well, probably, most likely, it's the third category. It seems like there was a lot of pressure put on the agents early on because in Hare, they couldn't provide a statistic on how rare something was. So very often they would simply say, you know, it must have come from him. It probably came from him. It couldn't have come from anyone else. When in fact, it's no different than saying the perpetrator was a tall guy with red hair and the defendant is a tall guy with red hair. It could be very, very common. And as we found out in these DNA exoneration cases, we've already exonerated 71 people who were convicted based on hair testimony. But all of a sudden, there were three cases in a row involving FBI agents where people have been convicted of murder. Each one served 20 years. The real perpetrators were free to commit more crimes. And that created quite a to-do.
Is this an indictment of the science behind identifying fiber evidence, hair evidence, and associating it with individual defendants?
It's not an indictment of the science. The science is good. The people just simply weren't comporting with science. They were indifferent to the laws of probabilities and statistics, and they just sort of made that up as they went along. That's what's so serious. What's fabulous about this, though, is that – and the FBI should be congratulated because these problems did not occur on their watch. These thousands of cases were from the 1970s, 1980s, and 90s. And in the old days, the FBI may have circled the wagons and refused to deal with it. But fortunately now we have an administration where they really care about these issues. They understand they have a duty to correct errors, and they're moving forward to accept responsibility and do something about it.
Part of this is driven by the fact that DNA science allows for a sort of gold standard of testing where you can go back and look at a criminal conviction, and if the DNA profile matches the other evidence in the case, even if it took place before DNA was used in evidence, you can confirm findings that might have been questionable up until then. Is there suddenly impetus to essentially get a DNA finding on virtually every one of these 71,000 cases and files?
Well, of the 21,000 files that they're looking at, in particular, 2,000 files right now where FBI agents said there was a positive inculpatory association, they would like to try and get DNA testing on them. But quite likely, in the intervening 20 years, a lot of the evidence has been lost or destroyed. The problem is that nevertheless, the original evidence was flawed. It was false evidence. And lawyers are going to have to sort through this. What kind of role did the hair testimony play in the underlying conviction? A lot of these people were on death row. Many of them were executed. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of that yet. But we're going to be finding probably dozens of people in this group who were executed where key evidence used against them was hair evidence provided by these FBI agents, which grossly exaggerated the probative value of the evidence, which was simply scientifically invalid.
Within those cases, I mean, it's one thing to say there was dubious evidence for someone on death row and that person was executed. It's another thing to say this decisive piece of evidence, but for this piece of evidence, there would not have been a conviction. An execution was essentially killing an innocent man. How many of those cases do you think are in here? Is it 12? Is it two? Is it way more than 12?
It's too early to predict, but it depends on a case-by-case basis how critical the hair evidence was to the conviction. So the first step is to determine whether or not the agents gave scientifically invalid testimony. And then in that subset of cases, we have to go back, deconstruct the cases, look at all the testimony, all the witnesses, and see what role hair played.
We really want to give creds to the Washington Post here that was at the beginning of looking at all these dubious forensic scientific practices here. They really opened the can of worms here, right?
Yeah, there was a reporter named Spencer Hsu who actually spent a year doing more than a dozen stories and last year won two journalism awards for it. He was dogged, as you say, and uncovered a lot of this. And in fact, according to the FBI, they give him credit for his disclosures, his exposés, for precipitating their decision to launch this massive review of old cases.
And to their credit, this doesn't look like a Band-Aid. This looks like a systematic look at what seemed to have been a dysfunctional approach to hair evidence.
Oh, no. The FBI really does deserve credit as well here. No one's hiding the ball. They're the ones who are acting in a very proactive fashion. They recognize there's a duty to correct when these errors occur. And they're going to be sending out letters for the first time, not just to prosecutors, but to make it completely transparent to the defendants and defense attorneys as well. And I might add, there's something else about this study that's completely unprecedented and very important going forward for all of criminal justice and in particular capital punishment in America. About 18 years ago, Congress passed a statute saying that we're going to make it much more difficult with statutes of limitation and other kinds of procedural default bars for inmates who had old death penalty cases to bring these challenges. What the Justice Department has decided for this set of cases, we will waive the statute of limitations,
wow,
we'll waive the procedural defaults. We want these cases decided on the merits. That's how important they see it.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, well, we see it as a sea change.
Wow. Peter Neufeld, co-founder and co-director of the Innocence Project, on a review of FBI lab evidence in hair cases. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.